Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular dishes like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Head to factormeals.com/5minute50 and use code 5minute50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code 5minute50 at factormeals.com/5minute50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. I'm Anthony Davis. This is Explained from 5 Minute News.
Were you pushed out of your role?
He absolutely wanted me to move aside and wanted Michael Whatley and Lara Trump to come in.
Is it appropriate for Donald Trump to ask donors to pay for his legal bills?
Well, I think as long as the donors know that that's what they're doing. I also think that means is that the campaigns or the RNC is being truthful when they're saying they're not going to pay the legal bills, that it is going to continue to run through the Save America PAC.
But ultimately, these donations are going first to pay his legal bills.
And I think he's being very open that they're helping with his legal bills.
And you, of course, paid $2 million for his legal bills while he was still in office. Do you have any regrets about that? Do you think that was an appropriate use of RNC funds?
We cut that off. It's different when you're a former president than when you're a candidate.
How can it be different when you're a former president or a candidate? Because he is a former president and a candidate. And the point is that no former president has ever got into such legal difficulty before or broken the law so many times or had 4 indictments and 91 charges held against them that they would need to ask people to pay their legal bills. This is completely unprecedented. You're talking about it as if this kind of thing happens with every Republican candidate.
That we've had more minority growth in our party, and that didn't just happen. I had offices open in Black, Asian, Hispanic communities that we had ignored as a party, and we've seen growth as a result, which, by the way, we're seeing in this election as well.
You have taken responsibility for the diversity in the Republican Party, because when I last looked at Congress, it was a sea of old white men. So what exactly are we talking about here? Is there any kind of change, systemic change, significant change that we can celebrate, or are we just tipping our cap, just nodding at the idea that some kind of diversity is actually something that we even care about in the Republican Party? Nice try.
I do not think people who committed violent acts on January 6th should be freed.
So you disagree with that? He's been saying that for months. Rana, why not speak out earlier? Why just speak out about that now?
When you're the RNC chair, you kind of take one for the whole team, right? Now I get to be a little bit more myself, right? This is what I believe. I don't think violence should be in our political discourse.
Okay, so now we're starting to get to the actual heart of this issue, is that whilst you're RNC chair, you can't tell the truth, you can't have an opinion, you can't really have a moral code. Because if Donald Trump, who is the de facto leader of the party, decides that he is going to free the hostages of January 6th, you are going to keep quiet and go along with that. But now that you are out of the RNC because he pushed you out, you are in a position to say that nobody who attacked the Capitol on January 6th should be set free from their conviction. Again, this is a very disingenuous position to take. The other thing I would say is that your face doesn't seem to communicate how you really feel about this. So by saying, you know, I said that no one who committed a crime on that day should be set free, say it with conviction. Say it like you mean it. Talk about it as if it's important to you, because it looks like you're just saying it for the sake of saying it so that you can give the impression that you're doing the right thing. There is a real lack of passion and of a genuine feeling and emotion towards any of these issues. It's all so performative.
And I disagree with that. I agree with him on a whole host of other things. Let's close the border. Let's make sure we have good incomes for people. Let's make sure we do a lot of great things.
Okay, so you agree with Donald Trump on let's close the border. Well, you can't close a border. It's not physically possible to close a border. But that aside, and then having good incomes for people, Donald Trump has never talked about that. That's not something that Republicans are offering, good incomes for people. What does that mean? Does that mean that you're going to support unionized workers or agree to a national minimum wage that is an actual living wage, not something from 20 years ago?
But for me, when I look at my state of Michigan and I look at the cost of food, the cost of rent, the cost of insurance, that I feel less safe, crime is on the rise, that we're seeing fentanyl come across our border, that we're seeing an open border, I don't think there's any choice but to vote for the Republican. Even though you may have disagreements, it's him or Biden, and that's the choice.
Just to be clear, though, studies show that crime actually is going down in major cities, and the fentanyl that is getting into the country is coming across legal ports of entry. But let me turn to this next question.
No, don't change the subject. She just lied about several things to suggest why she wouldn't vote for Joe Biden. She would vote for Donald Trump, despite all of his problems and all of his lies. So pin her down. Hold her to account. You know, what she's saying about fentanyl and her feeling less safe is just MAGA propaganda. It's designed to give people a great sense of fear and want them to arm themselves and stay behind their front doors, you know, for fearing for their lives. And she just pushed that misinformation and that narrative. And you allowed her to say it on cable news. And this is the reason why cable news has a bad reputation, because you can't just move on because you're running out of time or because you've got a whole list of other questions. You have to deal with the lies as they come along. And if that means that your show runs over, so be it. Or if that means you don't get to ask all of your questions, so be it. But you cannot allow for misinformation to be spread in an environment where people think that the broadcaster is trustworthy.
You know, I don't think he wanted that attack to happen on the Capitol, but I will say that attack is a dark day in our history.
So Ronna McDaniel is the only person that doesn't think Donald Trump didn't want an attack on the Capitol. It was all part of the plan. You know, the whole coup, the fake electors scheme, wasn't working. It seemed that Mike Pence wasn't going to do what Donald Trump was hoping he would do. And so this angry mob attacking the Capitol under Donald Trump's recommendation and advice, let's go to the Capitol, I'm going to go with you, we're going to take our country back, and if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. Which part of that is not Donald Trump inciting a violent insurrection?
Well, now he seems to be very proud about it. He calls it a beautiful day. Again, he's talking about freeing those who've been convicted. He, if you ask some of those who were convicted, they say they were there because Trump asked them to be there. Does he not bear responsibility for that day?
First of all, the RNC was not there on January 6th.
But what about Trump? I want to ask you about Trump, because Mitch McConnell says Donald Trump was practically and morally responsible for the attack on the Capitol. Was he?
I said I don't think he wanted the attack on the Capitol.
Was he responsible, though? He may not have foreseen it, but was he responsible
for it?
Well,
when I say that, I don't mean he wanted that to happen. So I don't hold him responsible for that. But I do think that it was a terrible day.
Yes, it was a terrible day. We all know that. We all witnessed what a terrible day it was. And we all know what a stain it is on American political history. But just to condemn it, then say, oh, well, the RNC wasn't there, so therefore it was nothing to do with us, and then ignoring the question about Mitch McConnell blaming Donald Trump, the whole thing stinks, Ronna McDaniel. You know, you can't be allowed to get away with taking a position like this, which is you just trying to dodge bullets. The reality is that we all saw this happen. And so to change the story, to rewrite history on cable news, doesn't do you or the cable news channel any favors.
There were 250 audits. They never found there was any corruption. Did you not have a responsibility as the RNC chair to say before January 6th, the election is not rigged? that Donald Trump lost, given that there were audits, given that there were more than 60 court cases that occurred all across the country, listen, and that Donald Trump lost?
The reality is Joe Biden won. He's the president. He's the legitimate president. I have always said, and I continue to say, there were issues in 2020. I believe that both can be true.
You can't say it, can you? You cannot say that Donald Trump lost the election. Even since you've been kicked out of the RNC by him and replaced by Lara Trump, you still cannot say that Donald Trump lost the election. You can say Joe Biden is the legitimate president, but you still cannot utter those words that are going to upset Donald Trump. Because in his world, in Mar-a-Lago, in the Trump bubble, he still thinks he's the president. And everybody, including you, plays along with that scam.
Massive laws were changed. They were changed through courts or through secretaries of state and not through the legislative process in the name of the pandemic that took away safeguards to the election. But
nothing was changed. People were given the opportunity to vote. That's what you don't like, because Republicans have been suppressing votes for years, closing polling places, making sure that people can't get to polling places, or insisting that there's a cutoff time and you can't drink water or be given water in line, so you end up passing out dehydrated. Let's be clear. Your concern is that Republicans lost because Democrats voted. That is how we celebrate democracy. That is how we celebrate the free right to a vote. And that is not what you're keen on, because you know that the more people that vote, the less chance there is that Republicans will win.
I'm going to push back a little, because I do think it's fair to say there were problems in 2020.
And to keep going on about how in some way the 2020 election was not legitimate, or that there were concerns, all of those concerns were questioned in court. Over 60 cases in court, and Donald Trump lost all of them. There have been recounts and audits, and independent companies have come in to do recounts, and still Donald Trump lost. And this is the point. You know, there will always be a few ballots going astray. That is standard if you're doing this kind of old-fashioned analog version of counting, but not anything like the number that would be necessary to change the outcome of the election. And this is the point that Republicans refuse to acknowledge. They love to sow doubt.
Saying, you know what, when you get rid of ID for all mail-in ballots, that's a concern. We should all be concerned about the care, custody, integrity of every ballot. But that's all I'm saying.
There was a pandemic. There was a worldwide pandemic. There was a stay-at-home order. There was lockdown. There was vulnerable people who weren't able to go to a polling place. That is the reason why mail-in ballots went through the roof. I mean, this is the thing about this Republican denial, you know, putting out these conspiracy theories about how the election might be rigged. The United States system has been heralded as one of the safest and most secure voting systems in history. Look at Dominion voting systems. They literally sued Fox for criticizing their machinery, and they won significantly. So we need to get rid of any of this fear that Republicans have been spreading, that somehow elections here in the US are not free and fair. They are. There should be a polling place in every town. There should be one within a 10-minute drive of every house. There should also be mail-in and drop boxes available at every street corner. That is a true democracy. That is a celebration of the vote. But they won't do it.
This is a viewpoint of a lot of Republicans.
It's the viewpoint of a lot of Republicans because they want it to be. They know that it's not true, but they want it to be true. So that is why they say this stuff. And just because it's the viewpoint of a lot of Republicans who know that by suppressing the vote, they are more likely to be successful in an election, does not make it true that there was election fraud. And this is happening time and time and time again. This sowing a seed of doubt about the safety of American elections, which is not just foolish, but it really denies that whole democracy and freedom that the Constitution holds dear.
if our country is going to survive, we need to be able to have difficult conversations like this in a respectful way. We need more of that in our country. But we also can't go into our echo chambers and say, I'm only going to listen to what Democrats have to say, and I'm only going to listen to Republicans have to say. Listen to it and make your own opinion.
Don't listen to it and make your own opinion. Listen to the facts. We are living in a time of misinformation where people like Ronna McDaniel have done nothing to get the country back on track, to turn a page on the lies of Republican propaganda. She continues to do it, this both sides idea that, oh, well, listen to this side and make your own mind up. That's not how it works, because each side is not equal. Republicans are lying about the border, lying about immigration, lying about the economy. You know, the United States is doing really very well. It's doing better than any country coming out the back of the pandemic. Inflation is down, jobs are at a record high, and the reality for business is that it is booming in most sectors. So there's a lot to be proud of, but to continue this narrative of fear and that migrants are coming and they're going to murder us and take our jobs at the same time, not sure which one comes first. And she said something about schools and education when Republicans are the ones banning books and not wanting to educate people. The hypocrisy in this Republican narrative, these talking points, which despite being pushed out of the RNC, Ronna McDaniel is still saying, is proof to me that the cult of Trump runs deep, and she still feels unsafe saying and speaking freely against the man who would be king. I'm Anthony Davis. You can hear me on the 5-Minute News podcast on Wednesdays, co-hosting Uncovered, and on Sunday on The Weekend Show with Midas Touch.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.